Hi, everybody. I accidentally forgot to press the record button during the lecture, so I will be recording myself again, going through the slides for lecture two. And I will start with slide number six. In lecture two, you can see the slide number in the bottom right corner of each slide. Slide number six talks about how the computers are designed out of a hierarchy of parts. Computers are formed out of billions and billions of parts, but they are not independent parts. They are parts that are organized in these hierarchies. The interactions between parts are simple and well-defined, and even though each part has a lot of components, we only deal with these interactions. Computers are also not dependent so much on technology, but on ideas. And that is why we can have computer science without computers. And these ideas have almost nothing to do with the electronics out of which computers are made of. People chose to make computers out of electric circuits, but they could be made out of a lot of other things, and we'll see that a little later. So the next slide, slide number seven, shows a circuit, and circuits are made in silicon. And I'm moving to the next slide, which shows the Xbox chip layout. And we can see that, obviously, this chip is made out of a lot of parts, but there's a structure to it. You have a bunch of processors that are called CPUs in this picture. There's some memory. Everything's very organized and structured. And it would be, if we wanted to see how the processor interacts with the memory, it would be very easy to see. It would be very logical and simple. In the next slide, slide number nine, we're moving to the basic building block of information, which is the bit. So every discipline has its basic building blocks. In chemistry, it's molecules, and everything in chemistry can be explained by interactions between molecules. In physics, the new theory, the string theory, says that everything in physics, everything is made out of little strings that vibrate, and those strings explain the properties of everything that surrounds us. In math, they have shown and they have decided that everything in math can be reduced to sets and operations on sets. And the same way, computer science is the basic building block is the bit. We will call these bits. The bits can have two values. They are the smallest unit of information, and they are coded using true and false, one and zero, or on and off. So true is also called one, and it's also called on. False is also called zero or off. And we will refer to these things interchangeably. At one point we'll say true and false, at another point we'll say one and zero, and at another point we might say on and off. And you can see that even the power button symbol that we have on the slide there, is a one and a zero at the same time. So the next slide, slide number 10, explains how they came up with a name for a bit. excuse me. It's the name is a portmanteau word, which is made out of two different words kind of glued together. It's like ginormous, which is gigantic, and enormous. They made a word that means gigantic and enormous. So kind of bigger than gigantic in a way. Motel is also a portmanteau word. It comes from motor and hotel. And other examples would be, brunch, or I'm sure there's lots of them. Spork, which is a spoon and a fork. In the same way, the word bit was formed by the words binary and the word digit. So it's a binary digit, and it was used by Claude Shannon, who kind of introduced Boolean algebra to computer science. And so just as in the numbers that we work with every day are formed out of the digits 0 through 9, the same way in binary, in base 2, the digits can be either 0 or 1. So any number in the binary system will be formed by using these two digits, 0 and 1. Why do they choose a bit? Well, bits are very simple. You know, there's not really a simpler way to make a distinction between two numbers. And they are very powerful. So, you know, computers can store movies, they can store pictures, they can store, you know, documents, anything that is digital can be represented by bits. So you have this power and also simplicity. And the next slide shows kind of how Escher makes these amazing pictures with using just one distinction, black and white. And also in Genesis, God divided the light from the darkness. So we see this very, you know, with just two things, we can build basically, you know, pictures, we can build a whole world. And bits are really all around us, if, you know, especially since everything has gone digital. The left side of the slide, you can see a sound wave, and maybe that's a normal sound wave, but they can make it into a digital sound wave. And the way they do that is they take discrete time. They measure at certain times, they measure the intensity of the sound. And then they plot, they make this plot. And you can see that it's not very smooth, but because the time is so short between when they measure the intensity of the sound, the human ear can't tell that it's discrete. It sounds just like the, say, the normal sound. On the right side of the slide, you can you can see an image, and digital images are just really groups of bits, but they are grouped and they form an image, and this image is like a matrix made out of a whole bunch of squares, each square having a certain color. If you zoom in, you can actually see how you know, the image is broken into these pixels. Before moving into Boolean algebra, which is algebra with using just true and false, we will recap a little bit of regular algebra on slide number 14. So in regular algebra, you have variables, and the variables stand for numbers. And you have stuff like x equals 3, p equals 22 over 7, a equals minus 2, and so on. And then you have operations on these numbers. And the operations can be binary operations. Binary in this context is not, you know, zeros and ones, but it's, it refers to two numbers. So some operations have need two numbers and have one result. That's what I meant by two numbers in, one out. And these binary operations are addition. For example, 2 plus 3 equals 4 equals 5, subtraction, multiplication. And then you have unary operations, which is are performed on one number, like minus. Minus 11 is minus 11 is minus 11, or square root. They only require one number. And the same way, the Boolean algebra can only have, all the variables can only be true or false. That's, those are your only options. You can have stuff like x equals true or p equals false. and the operations are also, they can be binary operations. So you get two bits in. The binary operation is performed on two bits, and there's one result. One example is AND, which is also called conjunction. So you have stuff like true and false. and the other binary operation is OR, or this junction, and you have things like true or false equals true. So there are other ones, but these are the most basic ones, operations. And then you have unary operations. For example, not, which is negation, not of false is true. Not reverts the value of the bit that is it's applied to. And we'll see this in a short time. This slide 16 shows, gives an example of the use of OR. For example, for watching R-rated movies, you need to be older than 16 or have an adult guardian with you. So we can say that for any given person, the variable X can be true if is true if the person is older than 16, and the variable X will be false if the person is not older than 16. So the variable X will take the value, the truth value of the statement the person is older than 16. The variable Y can be true if the person is accompanied by an adult guardian, and false if they're not. Right. So for one person, we can have these two statements, and then we can OR them together. The person, if the OR of the true statement of these two variables is true, then the person can see an R-rated movie. Right. So we're just describing the way OR, the operation OR works. We'll have a few examples on the next slide. For example, Bill is 22. And he's seeing the movie with his stepdad, right? So X, again, was, if you want to go back to the previous slide, X was true if the person was older than 16. So in case in Bill's case, X is true. And Y was true if the person was accompanied by an adult, and Bill is accompanied by an adult, so Y is also true. So, and we can see clearly that Bill can watch an R-rated movie. And we'll look at the third example. Seth is 16 and is there with both his parents. Seth is 16. He's not older than 16. So the truth, so X in the case of Seth is false because Seth is not older than 16. The truth of value of Y is true because he's there with an adult, with two adults, right? So he can actually watch an R-rated movie. And the last one, Jessica is 13 and is there with friends from school. X is false. Jessica is not older than 16. And Y is false because she doesn't have an adult with her, so she cannot watch an R-rated movie. Slide 18 talks about and the same way. An example is the parking rules at Rutgers, which says all vehicles parked on university property must be registered and display a valid Rutgers permit. So you need both those conditions to be true in order to be able to park, right? So in this case, we will say that X is true if a certain car is registered. And is false if the car is not registered. Y will be true if the car displays a valid Rutgers permit, and X and Y will be true, if X and Y will be true, then the car can be parked at Rutgers. Otherwise, the car cannot be parked at Rutgers. And the next slide gives a few examples. I will look at the second one, Samantha's registered, but the permit fell off. So Samantha is registered, so the value of X is true. But the permit fell off. She doesn't have display a valid permit. She does have it, but she doesn't display it. So Y is false. So X and Y will be false. Right? Samantha will get a ticket because she can't park there. The last one, Jessica is visiting with no registration or permit. Basically, X and Y are false in this case, and X is false, Y is false, and X and Y will be false. The third operation is not, And the example is with a person buying cigarettes. It is not allowed by federal law to provide tobacco products to persons under 18 years of age. So if the person is under 18, the person cannot buy cigarettes, okay? And examples are, let's say, the second one, Seth, is 21 and purchased a cigar. X is true if Seth is under 18. So in this case, X is false because Seth is not under 18. And so not X is true, so Seth can purchase a cigar. Slide 22 talks about the, kind of summarizes the and or not operations. So X and Y is true only if both X and Y are true. X or Y is true only if either X or Y are true. You need at least one of them to be true. And they can both be true, but if they're both false, X or Y will be false. And not X is true only if X is false, because not reverses the value of the variable. And they are a lot like the English meanings, but they're not so ambiguous. You don't need to memorize these. There will be a slide in a little bit with that you can print out and take with you, and these things are on that slide. So you can use that slide during exams or homework. So moving on, I made this analogy. It's as if I defined my own math, and I would say the only numbers that I'm going to be working with are 0 and 1. So my whole set is the numbers 0 and 1. My only operations are plus, multiplication, and switch, which I'm going to call switch, and I will show you what these mean. So I basically define the operations the way I want them to be. I define plus, just the regular plus, only the case when I add 1 to 1. 2 is not in my world, so I will say that that is a 0. That's how I want to define it. Then multiplication, I define as in the table. And then the switch just switches the values. You know, the switch of a 0 will be 1, and the switch of 1 will be 0. And then I have defined an order of operations, which is I do the parentheses first, then I do the switch, then I will do the multiplication, then I will do the plus. So, for example, if I have A plus switch B times C, I'll do the switch B first, then I'll multiply that by C, and then I will add A to it. This is just how I define it, right? The same way, the binary operations are defined. And this slide has a red background for the title, meaning that this is a fairly important slide that will be used a lot. And these are just the operations defined. And because all the Boolean variables can only have the values true and false, these are all the possibilities that you're going to be dealing with. So whenever you have an operation, just look it up in this table, and you will find the result. And the order of operations is parentheses, not, and or. So there's also relationships between these operations, and the relationship, the main relationship that kind of binds them all together is the Morgan's law. But first of all, not X is always X. And you can see that in the table on the slide, on a previous slide. No matter what value you give to X, not X will be the opposite. So not true, for example, will be false. And then when you apply that again, it will become true again. So the De Morgan's law, excuse me, the Morgan's law relates nots, ors, and ends. And it basically says, if you have not of X and Y, The not gets distributed, and the and becomes an or. It's the same way with not of x or y. The not gets distributed, and the or becomes an and. So, for example, with the car is registered at Rutgers, again, we had the x was true if the car was registered, the y was true if the car displayed a valid Rutgers permit, and we can say, we can define another variable, which is x and y, and that variable is called accepted, right? So when is a car not accepted? Well, we know that it's not accepted either if the car is not registered, so if not x is true, or if the car does not display a valid permit, if not y is true. So we can say that not x and y, which is not accepted, because x and y is accepted has the value x and y, so not x and y is the same thing as not accepted. Not x and y is not x or not y, right? The next slide was just an opportunity for me to explain what happens and how we compute, you know, if we have these operations, how does that work? So I took an example for x being true, y being false, and z being false. Not x, how much would that be? That would be false, because x is true. And we, again, we use the red slide where we have the tables. Not z will be true, because z is false. X, x and y will be true, and false is false. Y or z will be false or false, which is false. And y or x and not z, x and not z will be true and true, because not z is true, and we do not before and. So x and not z is true, and then we have y or true, false or true, will give us true. So obviously we can deal with these things, but we also need to make computers deal with them and automate them, right? So we can try to find a way to make this into computers. And the next slide is also a very basic slide. We'll have a lot of these circuits in the near future, and we need to understand how they work. So on the left side of the slide, you have a circuit, and on the right side of the slide, or two circuits, on the right side of the slide, you have a whole bunch of symbols that are explained. So the battery, you need to know what the battery looks like, and you need to know what the switches look like, and the light bulb. You can see that electricity is shown in purple, so what the battery does is generating electricity, and electricity can travel unless the switch is open, and then electricity cannot go through the switch. So if the switch is closed or true, we have the light is on, so on would be true too. If the switch is false or open, then the light will be false or off. So you see how that switch controls the light. A very simple example. And here on the next slide, you also have another two switches. The switch above, the switches above are wired in parallel. So you can see that if switch A is open or false, and if switch B would be open, there will be no way for the light, for the electricity to reach the light. So if both A and B are false, the light will be off. If A is false and B is true, like in the picture, electricity can't reach the light bulb and light it. And you'll get that the light will be on. The same way if A is closed and B is open, the light will be on. And if they're both closed, the light will be on too, because electricity can reach both through A and B. In the picture below, you see that the two switches, C and D, are wired in series. And if either of them is open, electricity cannot reach the light bulb and light it. So they both need to be closed. And they have some links there where these circuits are implemented in Scratch. And you can play with them and open them and close them and see what happens. So you get an intuition for how these things work. This slide 31 shows a multiple circuit. The slide introduces switches that are kind of glued together, as to say. So there's the dotted line that connects two switches, which shows that, for example, if A closes, then the switch below it will close too, because they're connected together. And this switch allows for a single mechanical switch to control two circuits simultaneously. And as an exercise, you know, light one, we can express light one and light two in terms of A and B. I think we will try to do this exercise in class too. But if you wanted to do it yourself, I think that would be a good and valuable exercise. Thank you for listening.